welcome to The Horror Review, where we rate, analyze, and review our favorite horror movies, TV series, and subgenres. At the end of each episode, we'll also give a rating via our Scare-O-Meter. I'm Tasha.
And I'm Julia. And today, we are introducing our kind of Modge Podge-y March theme of, like, fairy tale slash Irish...
Some Irish leaning things,
you know, for St. Patrick's Day, mm-hmm. and then also just kind of
folk tales.
Fairy tales. It's a weird mix, but we've got some really interesting ones.
Like a general theme there.
Yeah, fairy tale slash folk horror-y things, and which Irish
sometimes lean towards Gaelic.
So that's our theme. So for our first...
We always explain them so well, don't we?
So for our first one, this one is definitely more of the fairy tale leaning. This is a 2015 European fantasy horror film called Tale of Tales, which was co-written, directed, and co-produced by Matteo Garrone. And yeah, it's a fun one. This is this director's like only English language film to date. So he normally is, he's an Italian director. So Tasha's gonna take us away with a, it's like three fairy tales merged into one. So we'll kind of go through it and just kind of talk about each
fairy tale. It'll be hard to go back and forth.
To keep track of what's going on, I think, if we're explaining it not in the context of the three fairy tales.
Exactly. Yeah. And especially because I forgot that it was three fairy tales as I started watching it. And then I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. I mean, the three kingdoms kind of like come together a couple times.
They do. Yeah. They do. They're kind of intertwined.
They're in the same, like fantasy world.
They're in the same world. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we open up with the first tale, which is the Enchanted Doe. In the kingdom of Long Trellis, the king and queen cannot conceive a child. A necromancer suggests that if the queen eats a sea dragon's heart cooked by a virgin, she will be with child, but this will cost a life. The king slays the sea dragon, but dies from his wounds.
He dies, like, immediately.
Yeah. Also, it's played by John C. Reilly.
And the queen is played by Salma Hayek. Yes. Like, it's a, got a great cast.
It's kind of an interesting, cast.
But anyways, John C. Reilly dies immediately. He's in the movie for like maybe 3 minutes.
Yeah, not maybe. So after this, the queen eats the heart in a scene that looks quite a bit like Game of Thrones when Daenerys is eating the heart.
It's quite a cool, like, it's all white.
Yes.
And like there's all this like really intricate carving, and then she's just got this like red bloody heart that she's like, she's not using a knife or fork, she's just like chomping away.
We'll go into it later, but the cinematography is very interesting for this film. So she eats the heart and the next day bears a son, Elias, with his hair as white as the dragon. The cook also gives birth to a boy, Jonah, by immaculate conception, because
She was the virgin.
She was the virgin. This so vexes the queen that she attempts to murder Jonah, though he manages to escape. Jonah leaves the kingdom, plunging a knife into a tree root and telling Elias that as long as the root sprouts clear water, he is alive and well. One day, the water is clouded with blood. Elias leaves to find Jonah. The queen has her subjects search for Elias to no avail.
This, we should also say that this, it jumps ahead like 16 years. So they're like, they're 16 years old now. Yes, they're not little babies.
Sorry. In my head, I'm like,
No, it jumps ahead 16 years. So they're young men now.
They're young men who are identical and very close, like brothers.
Yeah.
The queen has her subject search for Elias to no avail. The necromancer blames the queen and says that the youths are truly inseparable and that her violent desire can be achieved only through violence. Elias finds Jonah wounded in a cave. They are threatened by a monster, which wounds Jonah but hesitates to attack Elias, who kills the monster and returns Jonah to his wife. In the cave, the monster's corpse dissolves into that of the queen. And that's the end of that tale. So the second tale is The Flayed Old Lady. The lustful king of Strongcliff.
He really is the lustful king.
He really is. Played by Vincent...
Castle.
Castle, thank you. Is intrigued by the sound of a woman's heavenly singing. He courts her outside her home, unaware that she is one of two elderly sisters. Emma?
Yeah, Emma.
Emma and Dora.
I thought they were saying Emma the whole time.
Okay, Emma. It is Emma. Yeah. Emma and Dora. Dora agrees to spend the night with him as long as it is in complete darkness. Which the scene before this is disgusting because she's getting like her sister to like glue her weird saggy skin down.
Yeah. She's like trying to like stretch her like back flaps and like glue it down and like glue her boobs down so they're like nice and perky again. And
it was weird. Yeah. I didn't
realize. She showed her finger first and she
put
it in hot candle wax and like ended up, she was trying to make the skin fresh and new. And no, she like burned her finger instead.
He's horrified when he sees her appearance the next morning and has his guards throw her out of a cliffside window.
Like, literally tosses her out of the window.
She ends up surviving, entangled in the branches of a tree. A witch rescues her and literally nurses her from her breast.
And she's just like okay with just suckling on a random woman's boob. But
I mean, she was a little traumatized at that time. Yeah. So why the fuck not, I guess. Dora awakens as a young, beautiful maiden. Mm-hmm. The king comes upon her while hunting and decides to make her his queen. Dora invites Emma to the wedding and promises to take care of her, but says that she cannot stay in the castle. Emma refuses to leave.
And that it needs to be a secret. And she immediately turns to like the first random person is like, I'm the queen's sister.
I know. She's like, she's my sister.
Yeah.
And she just keeps running around saying, and like, just shut up, lady. Yeah. So Emma refuses to leave, asking for the secret to her sister's youth and beauty. In annoyance, Dora says that she got herself flayed. Finally thrown out after violating the royal couple's privacy in their bedroom, Emma finds someone willing to flay her, leaving her body bloody and disfigured.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a flaying is.
It is what a flaying is. Yeah.
Anyway. And the third story is the flea. Slight trigger warning for this one.
There's some weird stuff in this one.
The king of High Hills becomes fascinated by a flea, which he hides in his room as a pet. It grows gigantic under his care. When it dies, the king decides to skin it and display it.
He's like, his daughter was like performing a beautiful song and he like couldn't even pay attention to the song she wrote for him because he was like distracted by this little flea jumping around in his hands. It was a very strange story.
It was
a strange start to the story.
Anyways, his daughter Violet tells him that she wants to be married, so he offers her as a bride to whoever can guess from what beast the skin was taken, believing that no one can do so. However, an ogre shows up and correctly identifies the hide by smell.
Mm-hmm.
Violet is horrified, but her father says he cannot go back on his word, and Violet... She almost threw herself off the roof, basically. But she is horrified and ends up going through with the marriage, but says her father never loved her. The ogre takes Violet to his cave, which is up like a crazy mountain.
It's like on a cliff. It's on the side of a cliff, basically.
Where she is kept prisoner. And then after being violated and I don't know what even she's eating because he had like gross skeleton bits of.
I don't know. He like goes hunting and leaves her on her in the cliffside cave. And...
yeah, to take care of the hide or whatever. I don't even know. Anyways, one day she comes upon a family of acrobats and they help her escape. But the ogre gives chase and kills the entire family.
This is after like they cut him, like they escape on a tightrope.
Yeah, that was an insane.
With Violet.
Yeah.
And then the ogre is like climbing across and they like cut this down. Yeah. We think he falls to his death.
Yep.
He falls very, very
far. He should fall to his death.
Yes. But anyways, and then they're happy and in this caravan and then...
eating apples.
Yeah. Breathing fire out the side of the caravan. And then suddenly Mr. Ogre returns.
And literally kills everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So finally Violet basically runs... till there's nobody left and ends up in a dead end and it looks like she's just like
given up
and she's gonna go back with him. So he is mollified by her, and then when he basically says climb on, or like motions to climb on his shoulder, she slits his throat. Violet returns to the castle where the king has grown ill and reveals that she has the head of the ogre, and she basically says, this is the husband you chose for me. The king falls to his knees crying, and the courtiers follow suit. Violet also begins to cry. Elias, Dora, and the king Strongcliff, are among the guests for Violet's coronation as queen. There, Elias nods to her and the king of Strongcliff. As Violet's father walks her to the throne, the crowd looks skyward, where an entertainer is walking a tightrope of fire. Dora's beauty begins to fade in that moment, and unnoticed, she flees the castle. And that's pretty much the end.
Yeah. That is the end. Yep.
These stories are intertwined in the film.
Yeah, they don't just happen one at a time. They're kind of interwoven, and we have a couple moments where they, like when the king dies in that very first kind of opening scene, we see these other two kings come to mourn the loss. So like their kingdoms are clearly like in contact with each other and not too far away.
Yeah. So throughout this whole thing, I was just like, what the fuck is happening?
I told you it was a couple different fairy tales, but they're not like, they're not fairy tales that a lot of people know.
No.
So they're based on this collection of fairy tales by 17th century Italian poet Giambattista Basile. I think I said that right. Yeah. And his collection of poems are called Pentameroni, which means Tale of Tales. So it's, that's what the movie is named after. Yeah. So it's, they picked these three out of like all of the fairy tales and decided to throw them into the movie.
Yeah. I read a few things about it and it was like the flaying of the skin story was kind of supposed to signify like a modern day like plastic surgery and like obsession with youth.
Yes. And I thought it was like more vanity.
Yeah, vanity. That's
and true. And then the first one, the enchanted doe with the queen.
Yeah.
That one was all about like jealousy. So she I mean, that's what I took from it because she, you know, they always say that jealousy is like a monster and the queen ends up turning into a monster because she's jealous of.
Is she jealous?
Yeah, she's really jealous of her son's relationship with the
little
boy.
I guess I read that it's the frenzied desire to have a child.
Yeah, I think that is like a theme of it for sure. Yeah. But I think that another underlying one is because she was so concerned with controlling Elias and being jealous of this like bond that she has with somebody who is not like blood related to him, and she was really jealous of that bond, which is why she like attacked him and pushed him out and basically turned into a monster to kill her son's only friend, which ended up getting killed instead. And like they always say that jealousy is like a monster, and she literally
turned
turns
into a monster,
into
at
a
the
monster
end.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Actually,
that was like another
jealousy
theme.
Was a big
yeah
one.
And I think like all three of these stories are kind of they're like ideas of desire and obsession, right? Like the ogre is kind of obsessed with the queen, and she was obsessed with the idea of like being married and leaving the castle.
Now that we're talking through it, yeah, a lot of it is control, especially with the queen, because she wanted to control the situation from the very beginning, right?
Yeah. So it's like a lot of obsession and desire and control.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Yeah. But with that first one, that enchanted doe one was definitely, I saw at least a lot of like jealousy, and she literally turned into a monster because of it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Like, what does the necromancer say to her? That she, her violent desire can only be achieved through violence.
Right.
Like she,
yeah. And the third one was conflict between generations.
For the flea?
Yeah. Which is kind of, it does make sense when you think about it, like the kind of honor-based idea of like older generations versus like modern kind of.
I also kind of saw it as like a father, like she really wanted to grow up and become a woman and like leave, you know, the home.
Yeah.
And so he made this what he thought was an impossible task so that she could like never leave.
Right.
But then the ogre actually guessed that it was the skin of a flea and she had to go.
Yeah.
Like, she
in the worst possible way.
So, and like she says that like, he didn't ever love her, but I think he like he did in his own weird little way and just kind of wanted to have some control over what happened to his daughter.
Yep.
And then he fucked up.
Yeah. Well, all of it is like meddling.
Yeah.
All of it is kind of like a allegory about meddling and trying to control and
I also like that it was like we see, I feel like, three different stages of kind of womanhood. Like that age where she wants to leave and get married and start a new life. We
maiden,
see this,
mother, crone.
Yeah, maiden, mother, and crone.
Yeah. One of them was the painful passage from adolescence to adulthood.
Yes.
And, which we definitely saw in the third one.
Saw that in the flea.
Yeah. And oh my God, the costumes.
There's like, there's a lot of great
the costumes
stuff in
are
this.
Crazy. Like, yeah. They're very like 17th century based, mm-hmm. and the crazy collars and big poofy outfits. Like, some
and
of them are
some of the big
amazing.
Hair too. Like, some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
And some really cool effects and some pretty decent makeup as well.
Yes,
and
the makeup was great.
Yeah. I really liked the dragon at the start, like under the water.
I was so confused by the dragon. I was like, what are you?
It's a water dragon. Most lore, like in a lot of like lore and stuff, especially right. in Japanese culture, they actually are water
dragons.
Yes, they are water dragons.
You're right. And that's what it looked more
Westernized
like.
Westernized society added the fire element to dragons, but that's
more
like
land
not,
dragon.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, water dragons, they're more like protectors and not actually really evil
you are
beings
right,
at all.
They're
yeah.
more Eastern kind of yeah. dragons versus yeah. the Western ones. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's kind of interesting. For me, it felt kind of like a mashup of influences from Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. Guillermo del Toro.
Yep,
for sure.
Bits with some of the weird.
And Brothers Grimm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that kind of
What century
vibe.
Were Brothers Grimm? I want to know if this...
I feel like they might have been around the same.
They're 18th century.
Oh, they're 18th
so they're
century. Okay.
A little
yeah,
bit after.
Yeah, a teeny bit
so
older.
This, yeah.
And they're German, dramatic yeah. based. So, yeah. like,
you get this
yeah.
kind of Renaissance feel
yes.
in this.
Very Renaissance-y.
Tale of Tales.
Yeah.
yeah. I quite liked it. I wasn't really sure, like, what to expect mm-hmm. with it, but I quite liked it. It unfortunately was, like, a bit of a box office flop.
Yeah, I
the
can
budget,
see why.
The budget for the movie was $14 million.
It was
And it only
crazy.
Grossed $5.5 million.
Yikes.
But I don't even remember this movie coming out in 2015.
No, I don't either.
But I feel like I would have gone to see it if I had like been aware that it was a movie.
I feel like I would have been intrigued by a dark fantasy
yeah.
film with Salma Hayek in
yeah,
it. Like it.
Right? We just did From Dusk Till Dawn
yeah.
with Salma Hayek in it. Yeah.
Yeah, so when Julia suggested this, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, cool, another,
yeah.
like, random Salma. This is not, I wouldn't say this is in the horror vein, though. It didn't
it's
really
like,
feel horror-y.
It's got, it's on quite a few things. It's fantasy horror.
Dark fantasy
it's
for
dark,
sure.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And there's some like, there's some just weird moments in there.
It reminded me of Crimson Peak.
Yeah.
A bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it definitely had the Del Toro mm-hmm. flip. But then again, like Spanish and Italian, mm-hmm. like it's, they come from like similar backgrounds. So
yeah.
the style, stylistically, the camera shots were amazing.
Yeah, there was some
oh
really
my God,
a lot of it was filmed in Italy and France. Like it's just
this
really beautiful scenery.
Yeah, beautiful landscapes.
Yes,
yeah. Just the panning of the shots were really well done. Mm-hmm. You could tell they had a big budget for this.
Yes,
like
the like lake or whatever the river that they go to
yeah.
get the dragon in is apparently a very famous Italian. It's the Alcantara River in Sicily,
Ooh.
And that's where they filmed that. And it's just it's very oh. very. It looks really beautiful.
Yeah, it looked gorgeous. I was like, this is definitely real,
mm-hmm.
wherever they're
yeah,
filming
it's,
it.
Yeah, it's a real location.
Yeah. It was an interesting movie. I still don't know how I feel about it.
I feel like, for the most part, I really enjoyed it. I feel like the ending with the ogre was, it felt kind of weirdly rushed.
Oh.
Like, I feel like that, like, happened super fast, and then the movie was just, like, over.
I mean, I was... stoked when the
I wanted to know more
dead,
about our
but...
flayed lady. Did she survive? Did she like
oh apparently in the novel she dies
in the poem
during
okay.
the flaying
okay
yeah
okay
so it was kind of interesting
like,
that they had her wandering up the stairs
yeah.
and it's
I mean
like,
she looked weak and not like she was
she
doing
looked
well.
Nearly dead
yeah
I would assume you don't last very long if you're
without your skin
without yeah. your skin
she probably got an infection and died.
Yeah. Oh, I was literally thinking that as she's walking up those dirty stairs
dirty
with
stairs.
Goats. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like,
oh,
oh.
Infection. Infection.
Yeah. yeah. You're going to die real soon.
Yeah. yeah.
Especially back then.
yeah. 17th century. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not so good.
Well, and they were showing the king at the end, too, in the third story.
The flea?
Yeah. In the flea where they had, when he was ill, they had the leeches
on him. Oh, the
on
leeches
him.
On
yeah.
him. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh, good modern yeah. medicine.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. It was just a weird kind of fun one.
It was weird.
Yeah. I liked it.
It was, yeah. I think I liked
the music too, was all these kind of like weird.
Like I
liked
the soundtrack.
Each story, did you notice, had its own little kind of fairy tale sounding theme that kind of like kept coming back throughout it. And they were like weird and almost calming. I noticed it especially in the flayed old lady. That one, like, it kept coming back, and it was almost weirdly calming, but then there was some little moment of that music that was really unsettling. I was like, oh, something weird is going to happen. But like each of them had these weird kind of like lullaby type.
They were all kind of eerie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was cool. Yeah. I really like that. Should we
Scaremeter? Yeah. We have nothing else to say about it. I just liked it. It was weird.
I don't think so. It was
interesting. I want to read these poems now, though.
I do, too. I would read them.
Giambattista Basile.
Basile.
Yeah.
Anyways. Scaremeter?
Like a 3.
Yeah, 3. Yeah.
Not super scary. No. But it just kind of weird and unsettling.
Some of it, was, some of it was like get under your skin unsettling. Yeah.
But some cool kind of monsters, though.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The flea.
The flea was so weird.
I know.
I thought it was going to have, like, a bigger part of the story.
Me too.
I thought he was going to, like, marry her off to the flea.
I don't know. She might have fared better with the flea. Jesus.
I know, because when she was like, I want to be married, he's like, I have someone for you. And I was like, not the flea. That's where my brain... The flea got very big. Yeah. It was a large flea. He was feeding it. And it was a large flea.
Yeah, there were some very strange creatures in this one. It was kind of... I have to give them props for ingenuity for that, because they were interesting. But the jack-o'-lanterns.
Let's see. Like a 3.
I'm going to give it 2.5.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was like... It was all right.
Yeah.
It was all right.
I liked it. It was kind of weird.
It was weird.
Yep.
I mean, I like being surprised, too, is the other thing. Because with a lot of, like, horror, it tends to follow the same, you know, story and rules. But every once in a while, having a curveball thrown at you is kind of nice.
There we go.
Well,
that was that one. That was our first.
Starts off our
weird March.
Fun March theme.
With an equally strange and weird movie.
And started us off with the fairy tale part of it. So, there's definitely more coming for you this month, because we have 5
There are 5 Fridays. There are
5 Fridays in March.
There's definitely a St. Patrick's themed one in there. You can guess which one that one might be.
Yep. And it's some spring.
It's a little on the nose.
But fun nonetheless.
Yep.
If you enjoyed listening to us and would like to hear more, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you consume your podcast from. If there is a particular theme, TV series, movie, or book that you want us to talk about, let us know. We would love to hear your feedback.
And you can follow us on Instagram at The Horror Review, and we are also on Facebook, and we'll probably post a picture of the flea.
Yes.
For this one.
Yes. That's a good idea.
Because the flea was really weird.
It was really weird.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you next week for some more fairy tale
folklore
Irish weirdness.
Oh.